Hello, and you are listening to the Tech and Tonic podcast, episode 28 of season 2. Tech and Tonic is a show, a podcast show that talks and discusses all things tech. That is, if you must know. This week, you're joining me, Darwin, and Jeevan again for our Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Consider that?
I guess.
Yeah, it's not a TED talk, it's Tech Talk, right? Well, there's a little change in our regular programming in the sense that we usually publish our stuff on Mondays. Now we're going to be publishing our stuff on Tuesdays just to fit our schedules a little bit better, okay? But we are still going to be bringing you news, you know, the best news or the hottest news, well, tech news from last week, starting with Fossil. So last week, Fossil had an update for their Android Wear devices, you know? And Jeevan, what happened?
Basically, you lost a lot of watch faces.
Dang.
A lot of watch faces. So I
that
think it
sounds
about
like a downgrade.
30 watch faces that got removed.
Oh, that's bad.
And if you updated it overnight, you wouldn't know. Your watch face would basically just revert back to the Wear OS default.
Man, that kind of suck. I mean, in light of, you know, Wear OS 3 coming out. Is it Wear OS 3? Yes, Wear OS 3 coming out, you know, with a collaboration with Samsung and stuff like that. It's exciting, but man,
this
just makes your Android Wear 2 devices really useless.
No, but then it could be that Fossil is getting ready to push an update, because we know that watch faces take up quite a bit of memory, especially
that
if they're functionality based. So by removing this about 30 watch faces, it might be freeing up a little bit more space for the big update.
Okay. Makes
That's
sense.
What I think might be happening. But
Makes
then again,
sense.
Yeah, it's only been confirmed for the Fossil Gen 5 and 5e watch. The Gen 4 watches, so far there is no news on what's happening.
Right. Okay, cool. Anyway, in the international scheme of things as well, you know, Germany is now pushing smartphone manufacturers to start supporting their device for 7 years. Basically, they want manufacturers to update, you know, their devices for the next 7 years, like after launch, which is quite unheard of, right? Because I think even the iPhone only updates up to 5 years.
Yeah. But it also makes sense in the long term, because we're seeing price of tech go up so much.
Yeah.
And we're seeing privacy issues with the lack of updates.
That is true.
So,
and
two birds, one stone.
It's not cheap for you to upgrade your phone every day. Or not every day, I mean every year or even every 3 years. It's not cheap. It's really not cheap. Like, if you think about it properly, a Samsung Galaxy S21 Ultra at this point is about 5,300 ringgit?
Thereabouts.
That's not cheap for you to change every 3 years.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. And I miss the days where we can buy a flagship for 2,000 ringgit.
That was how much I bought the Note 3 for. And that was with my first paycheck.
Yeah. Remember how much our Note 5 was?
It's still not that bad.
Anyway, Bose launched a new soundbar globally, right? They call it the Soundbar 900. Yes, the Bose Soundbar 900. And it's a Dolby Atmos soundbar. I think it can do 5.1.2 channel virtual, you know, surround sound. And it will cost $899.95. I don't understand why there's a 95 cents there, but yeah, it's there. Okay, it's not really available in Malaysia yet, but if you're interested, the conversion is about 3,775 ringgit. At the same time, Sony also launched a new soundbar. Well, this is for Malaysia, the HT A5000 soundbar. This is near the highest end soundbar that you can get from Sony, and it will set you back 3,669 ringgit.
Yep.
And these are very expensive stuff.
Yeah, it's price of tech is really going up.
It is. But think about this, okay? A good soundbar, okay? Now Sony doesn't ship their soundbars with the subwoofers anymore, because this is to kind of fit, you know, apartment houses, condos, you know, because you don't want to have a subwoofer and disturb your neighbor downstairs, right? So that's the argument of not including a subwoofer. And they're cheaper now than more than ever. The problem is they're still not that cheap, right? Still, you get Reality 360 audio and 5.1.2 surround ish I think that's not bad, but it's not cheap. It's still quite expensive.
It is. 4,000 ringgit is also the price of an entry level gaming laptop.
It is. And which one would you rather buy, Chivin?
At this point, a gaming laptop.
Anyway, let's move on to Chrome. Google launched the Google Chrome OS 93 for Chromebooks. Okay, that's launching now. Well, it's launched last week, right? So if you have a Chromebook, which I suspect a lot of us don't, okay, but if you do, you can upgrade to that. But I'm pretty sure you want to offload your Chromebook after knowing that, you know, Microsoft has pulled down all their Microsoft Office apps from the Play Store.
Yeah. Microsoft being weird.
Yeah, they are. Anyway, LG was also in the news last week. They launched something called a Real Folding Window. And
yeah,
this is their, you know, flexible glass thing that they want to do, right?
I thought and they said it's not glass.
No, they still called it a flexible glass, a foldable glass, but it's not made from glass. It's a piece of plastic, you know, that is layered by PET plastic films on both ends.
Aha.
So it's plastic on plastic on plastic.
So it's LG's version of Glastic.
Yes. But at the same time, it is also the sort of same implementation that, you know, Samsung is using with their Galaxy Z Fold and Z Flip 3. Okay, the new ones, right? And apparently it doesn't feel like plastic, because the old Z Fold 2 had this plastic layer that felt kind of horrible.
Plastic.
Yeah. But the new one, it's not glass. They never claimed for it to be glass. They said that, you know, it's a more durable, stretchable, foldable plastic display, which kind of feels like glass, apparently. And yeah, it feels better, but we haven't touched it yet, so we couldn't tell. We cannot tell you whether it's better or not, right?
And I also read that this new approach that LG is using apparently minimizes the fold.
Yeah.
The crease.
Yeah. That's what they say, but we haven't been able to touch it. And especially since LG says that, oh, this is not a commercially available technology yet, we're going to have to expect it around 2023, which is 2 years from now.
LG.
But they're not in the smartphone game anymore. So
yeah,
technically, they say that this is going to be a more affordable option for, you know, a more affordable, foldable smartphones.
Say might that, be the year we get 10 times the Pixel Fold.
Anyway, DJI also launched something. They launched the OM5, which is the updated version of an OM4, but with a price tag that does not make sense. Provided it comes with a telescopic boom arm thing, you can stretch it out and find new angles, but it's in Malaysia ringgit, okay? It's launched at 689 ringgit. Now, Jeevan, how much was the OM4?
It was about 450 ringgit, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yes. At the maximum, you can get an OM4 at about 550 ringgit if you're unlucky, okay? But 689 ringgit, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I think we have a camera setup. Even our studio setup doesn't cost that much.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's a steep increase in price.
It is, it is. It is, and very I don't, expensive.
And the thing is, I don't see the justification for it. Because it looks like the exact same thing, just slightly rounder in certain places, with a extendable selfie arm thingy.
Correct. So it's lighter. It's about 100 grams lighter than before. But it's not like the previous one was super heavy, right? We actually both own an OM4.
Yeah. So
why do you need to spend 689 ringgit again?
No, the thing for me is, I think the OM4 was just right when it came to weight.
Yeah.
Because and it actually just right helped
in terms of price.
Exactly. And if you're making it lighter and more expensive, I don't think it makes sense.
No, it doesn't. Anyway, Spotify was also in the news because they started collaborating with Delta Airlines. For now, that's the US, only in US, okay, to provide their in-flight entertainment services. So you can listen to podcasts and music in flight. But that's not coming to Malaysia just yet because...
You can listen to us on Delta Airlines.
Yeah, well, if you're on a Delta Airline flight now... Well, you're listening to us now.
Tell us how we sound up in the air.
Anyway, there was a few exciting things in Malaysia as well, right? So Asus finally launched the ROG Zephyrus G14 Alan Walker Special Edition. That's a really long name, okay? But anyway, they did launch that, okay? It comes with all the great things that you see the unboxing people do and stuff like that. And it comes in at 7,999 ringgit, which is actually not that bad, considering the original price of the ROG Zephyrus G14 itself, you know?
Yeah, and considering the specs of the Alan Walker edition,
yeah,
it's not too bad, considering it's a co-branded thing.
Correct. It's actually... quite reasonable, and you get quite a few goodies with it, right? If you actually did a pre-order last week on the 99 day, right, the Shopee 99 and whatever not, right, you actually get an extra handbag. Well, I don't know if you can call it a handbag.
Sling bag. Is
it a sling bag? Yeah, they call it a sling bag, a sling pack or stuff like that. It won't fit your laptop, but it looks damn cool, right? I actually think that it looks damn cool. And you can get it for 399 ringgit at the end of this month, I think. That one sling pack for on its own, I think. Okay.
Ouch.
That's not confirmed yet. But it's a very cool sling pack. That's all I'm saying. In terms of esports, Kohai launched... There's a launch last week, and it's called Kohai. This initiative for esports in Malaysia, right?
Yeah.
And they're trying to develop more esports competitors and athletes in Malaysia by allowing amateurs to play with pro players, kind of thing.
Yeah, so Kohai, their justification for the name is that it works on this Kohai Senpai relationship. So if right. you watch Japanese media, Kohai Senpai is basically your senior, mentor, junior, mentor, mentee type of thing.
Right.
But on this platform, which you access through the Kohai partner or gamer app, you basically pay to be mentored.
Right.
So cool. You pay something like 10 ringgit an hour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. To get trained or to achieve certain milestones in your game. Right now, it's Mobile Legends and PUBG Mobile.
Right. So currently, it's more for mobile gaming, but it's kind of... making sense because Malaysia has been a very big mobile gaming market anyway, right? So, kind of makes sense. And I think it's a bit similar to, you know, what Acer is doing with their Planet 9-ish.
Yeah, and on top of that, I think this particular app is actually bridging the gap. Like, you have a lot of young people that want to get into esports.
Okay.
At the same time, they are not quite sure where they can turn to.
Right.
Makes so sense, this just brings sense. It to finger basically fingertips. But of course, if you want to register as a partner, you have to be 16 years and above per Malaysian labor law.
Right. Makes sense.
Because well, you are getting paid.
Well, yeah, you want esports. This is the reality of esports, right?
Yeah.
You do have to get paid. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so for their launch, they're actually partnering with Geek Fam for... So you can train with Geek Fam on the app.
Okay. Maxis also launched something last week, and they launched something called The Right Cloud. And from what I can understand, it's a dashboard for cloud services for companies, you know.
Like yeah.
Well, at least their customers, right? If they are, you know, relying on Amazon Web Services, you know, or even Microsoft Azure and even Google Suite, right? You can,
yep.
you know, access everything from one place, like from Maxis Right Cloud.
Yeah, so
clever, I think.
Maxis is just basically trying to be the one-stop shop for everything.
Yeah.
When it comes to enterprise cloud.
Right.
And this is basically their version of you look at it, you know exactly where your stuff is.
Right. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what they're trying to achieve. Anyway, Vivo also launched something really big last week, right? This was a global launch, so we don't actually have the official price just yet, because they are going to launch this device in Malaysia very, very soon. In fact, yeah. I think they're launching it this week. If I'm not wrong.
I think it's next week.
Is it next week? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, they launched the Vivo X70 series, and this comes with three devices, which is quite annoying to us anyway, right?
Yeah.
So it comes with the X70, the X70 Pro, and the X70 Pro Plus. And these devices really come with superpower, okay? At least for the X70 Pro Plus anyway. It comes with the Qualcomm Snapdragon 888 Plus. The rest of them gets a MediaTek. Which huh. is... Yeah.
So I the didn't X70 really Pro catch up on this.
The X70 Pro and the X70 comes with a MediaTek Dimensity 1200. Which is still a 5G chip, but... I've no words for it. Actually, I don't know how to describe them.
No, because so we reviewed the X60 series, mm-hmm. at least what was available in Malaysia, the X60 right. and the X60 Pro. Mm-hmm. They were running on Snapdragon processors, and the performance was actually pretty good on the phones.
Yeah, and those are considered flagship, and this one is like even more flagship, right? Because they are going to be expensive devices.
Yeah,
by judging the look of it, and. The X70 Pro Plus comes with four cameras, like the X70 Pro. The X70 comes with three cameras, okay? Only the X70 Pro comes with a 50 megapixel main camera and a 48 megapixel ultra-wide camera, which has a gimbal on it, okay? And I think two 12 megapixel cameras, if I'm not wrong, okay? Oh, wait, no, one 12 megapixel camera and one 8 megapixel camera, right? And the only device that comes with gimbal is the X70 Pro Plus. The X70 Pro doesn't get a gimbal.
The gimbal stabilization has been the hallmark of the X series for Vivo. I think the X60 Pro last year had the gimbal stabilization.
Correct. So, yeah. And this is not the main camera that gets this gimbal, right? It's the ultra-wide camera, which is... odd, but okay, yeah, sure. It came with a slightly bigger battery than before. Okay, it's a 4500 milliamp battery, which is not as big as a lot of the new flagships, but it's still good. And for the first time ever, the Vivo X70 Pro Plus, okay, comes with wireless charging. The rest
Does
of them don't
still come with the Zeiss lens.
Yes, they still come with the Zeiss lens, which is okay lah. Good, it's good, right? That they come with Zeiss lens, but yeah, the rest of it don't come with, you know, wireless charging. So the one you want is the X70 Pro Plus,
which right. if we follow last year, we didn't get the X60 Pro Plus.
Yeah, so Malaysia, don't know. But here's the thing, right? It raises a lot of questions, because to us, The X60 came with gimbal, and we thought that was quite cool, right? Even that was actually very cool, right? That they came with a gimbal in-body stabilization implementation. And that is still an innovation on Vivo's part. And last year, we also saw a lot of innovation from smartphones. This year, there's not a lot of them. So the question is smartphone innovation kind of stagnating?
I actually think to a certain extent, yes, it is. Because let's be very frank.
Right.
What have we been focusing on for the longest time?
Cameras.
And true enough, you have companies like Oppo, Vivo, and even Samsung who are focusing on the camera.
That is true, yes.
But when it comes to the overall phone, we're stuck with more of the same. I mean, pick up any Samsung device or any Vivo device. The interface and the experience is exactly the same. Doesn't matter what price range.
That is true.
The biggest innovation we've had over recent years, probably night mode on most of the cameras. And gimbal and stabilization.
That's really just implementation of the software, right? If you're talking about night mode. Yeah. The gimbal was, I think, the most exciting thing that came into a smartphone. But
yeah.
Well, there is this one innovation that, you know, Vivo did this year that is to install a separate imaging chip V1 on top of, you know, what they already have, which means that, you know, image processing, like photo taking, you know, is going to be handled by a separate chip, which would boost some of its performance. But this also only comes with the X70 Pro Plus. The rest of them don't.
Yeah, and I respect what Vivo is trying to do. Like, they are trying to become a one-stop shop for mobile cameras.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the overall mobile phone has stagnated.
Yeah, there's nothing new. I mean, they were one of the first people, okay, to install it under display fingerprint sensor. Actually, they were the first, right? They were also one of the first brands to actually feature a pop-up camera, a pop-up selfie camera. They didn't continue with that progress. I don't know why. Okay, but these are industry firsts that they did, right?
They're also one of the first
in-display fingerprints.
Yeah, they're also one of the first to also do under-display selfie camera.
Yes, they were one of the first, right? And they did it quite, not to say very, very well, but in the early days of these technology, how much can you really expect, right? And they did it actually quite well.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm wondering whether we have become so accustomed to having candy bar phones that even if you're folding the phone, it's still a candy bar eventually.
That is true.
And we are just going to be stuck with this candy bar form factor forevermore. Because let's be very frank. Growing up, we had so many interesting form factors. We had the N-Gage. You had the Sidekick. You had the Motorola Milestones. Oh my god, that's one of my favorite phones.
Yeah, but the Milestone is still a candy bar.
It is, but we also had the full QWERTY keyboard below it.
That is true. Like, even the BlackBerries, when they came to Android, they still had those their own QWERTY physical keyboard. And that was, I think, one of the more exciting periods of Android to me.
Yeah.
Right?
And
nowadays, the most exciting Android that you can find is a foldable Samsung.
Yep.
And I think foldable technology, however great they are, is still at their infancy at best.
Okay, yeah,
still
and
struggling to understand how to actually implement foldable technologies on smartphones, which is quite annoying, but it is the truth.
Yeah, and it's especially true because we're not dealing with what we had last time. Like, last time, our display was like, what, 1 inch? Versus our multiple inches. Now, I think the largest phone display we've seen on a single candy bar is like, what, 7 inches?
Yeah, 7.3 inches, I think.
Yeah, so at the same time,
I think that was the Redmi Note 3 or something like that.
I think so.
Yeah,
but at the same time,
the phone that covered half my face.
Yes. But at the same time, we're looking at innovation from a smartphone perspective. we're not getting much. We're getting stuff in the likes of wireless charging technology.
Right.
Ultra wideband technology.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the overall smartphone, even when it comes to experiences, it's pretty standard. Pretty run of the mill.
It is true. I mean, if you look at Android 12, I mean, it's coming soon. It's coming very, very soon, right? For Pixel devices and whatnot. So if you can upgrade to Android 12, you should. But like, the experience is not going to be super, 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 super different. Yes, there are things that they are starting to implement that would make it a bit more intuitive, but a lot of them are not actually new ideas.
Yeah.
Right? We've seen the design cues before. It's just that it didn't work before this and it didn't look very good before this. Now, it kind of makes sense because of the functionality that we have. But at the same time, they're not entirely new designs. It's designs that we have seen before. It's interfaces that we have interacted before this, right? Even iPhones, the worst example is actually iPhones, you know, iOS, from the first one until now. They're identical to each other.
Yeah,
there's
so
not much innovation done with it. So
yeah, I think the biggest difference even on Android was the jump from Android 2.3 to Android 3.
Yeah, but that was also because they wanted to introduce a sort of unified single operating system.
Yeah.
And when they wanted to do the tablet operating system, they finally just said, you know what, we're just going to do an Android 4.
Yep.
And Android 4 was never meant for a smartphone. Remember that?
No, I think we mean Honeycomb. Honeycomb was 3.
Yeah, Honeycomb was 4. Oh, was it 3?
3.
Oh, yeah.
So the
3, Honeycomb 3 never made it to a smartphone.
Exactly. So Honeycomb's design was so different because it was on a tablet.
Yeah, they meant for it to be a tablet. And they realized that that was a very big mistake.
Yeah, and then they brought it into a unified interface. And also, it was during this period that Samsung said, let's bring back the stylus.
And that was the most exciting Android development since 2.1.
Yeah, and for me, it was actually one of the most interesting times in mobile because it was the first time we were getting a screen that was bigger than 3 inches.
Jeevan was still kind of a non-believer of, you know, the stylus on a smartphone thing.
Yeah.
After he tried it on the Note 2, he's like, oh my gosh, this is such a game changer. I'm like, I told you so.
Yeah, because I was very skeptical about the Note.
Mm-hmm.
But as they refined it, it became more of a necessity.
Yeah. So it was kind of cool. But right now, I don't know. I kind of feel, maybe because we've been in this industry for too long, but I kind of feel that not many smartphones kind of excites me anymore.
Is that
the correct way to say it?
Yeah, I think the most exciting smartphone this year was actually last year was the S20 FE. For me at least.
Yeah, and I think the most innovative smartphone for these 3 years has always been the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold and the Z Flip.
Yeah.
But I have so much criticism for the first Z Fold that I didn't really think that it was an innovation, more like a prototype.
Yeah, but at the same time, the only reason why I got excited about the FE was because it's bringing the flagship down to a reasonable price.
Yeah, but that wasn't really innovative, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's not innovation.
It's just lowering the price of a flagship and just making it a bit more accessible, which is clever, but at the same time, again, Samsung is on this path of trying to cover everything from 0 to 100.
Yeah.
Okay, like from A to Z, they want to be covering everything. Are they really that innovative though? No, right? And that's kind of the problem here.
I think when it comes to smartphones, the first thing that needs to be rethought about might be the form factor.
Right.
Because if you realize you're being limited by how it should look, not that how it should function.
That is true. We are limited by these slabs that are, you know, large displays. But then again, if you want to make smaller devices, you do have to compromise on this, on these large displays, these large touch panels. You're going to have to compromise, right? And I'm not sure if we are ready to compromise on that.
But that's also, I think it's also because we haven't seen all these rollable phones in person. Because we have only seen videos.
That is true. I mean, rollable devices might be great, but they're not exactly... They are innovative, but which one of them have made it out as a full-fledged sales device that goes on sale?
So far, nothing. I actually think one of the most interesting things that we've had in the past, I would say decade, was Samsung's Galaxy Round, was it? It was one of the first curved screens, but it also had like the self-healing body. So if you have cello cracks or scratches, it would actually just mend itself.
Oh, that one. But again, that never made it to market.
Exactly. We've had so many interesting ones. And the thing is, we could use it in things like the Galaxy Z Flip or Z Fold, right, where people are bound to drop these phones.
Yeah.
But we've never heard them implementing it.
True. Anyway, you know, we will see what happens with, you know, at least Apple's next launch, because that's happening kind of tonight. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, you know, it's happening tonight, or to be fair, next morning. But yeah, it's going to happen. They're saying that there's going to be some new stuff coming for the iPhone 13, but at the same time,
I am not skeptical. Much.
Yeah, we're very skeptical nowadays, because what else is new? Really? What else is new?
Yeah, and I think a lot of our tech innovations might not be in the devices that we're using every day anymore.
That is true.
Like, anyway, I think my most exciting tech innovation would be the inclusion of things like EKGs in smartwatches in the past year.
Yeah, but EKG implementation really is up to the government. Right, so even if you have an EKG watch in Malaysia, you still can't really fully function it, kind of.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is all the time we have for today's episode of Tech and Tonic Podcast. Now, we want to watch, you know, Apple's launch of the new iPhone 13. We are excited for it, but we're not expecting anything too new. But what do you think? You know, is innovation on smartphones really stagnated? Is there any more improvements that we can make on our smartphone? Is there something that you want from your smartphone, you know, or your future smartphones to do? Maybe a holographic display? Maybe, you know?
That would be interesting.
That would be interesting, but you most likely won't get it now. But yeah, do let us know what you want from your phone, and do let us know what you think of our show. We are available on Google Podcasts, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and on YouTube as well. So just let us know from any of these platforms. Or, you know, you can just follow us on our social media, that is on Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, and Instagram. We are Tech and TV across this channel. Just reach out to us and tell us what you think about the show, and tell us what you think about innovation in smartphone in general, and what you want to see from your smartphone. You know, if not, you can visit us on www.techn.tv and check out all our latest news and our latest reviews. Pretty cool there. And we will see you, well, we will listen to you again next week. Or not listen to you, sorry, we will talk to you again next week. And this is Darwin and Jeevan signing out. Goodbye.
See ya.